Welcome to Behind the Curtain with me, Rhiannon Carrs. I'm delighted to be joined by Kate Clegg today, our head of marketing. Kate first joined the business back in 2014, and she started out then as a branch secretary, and that was in our Kendal office. While there, she discovered a huge passion for marketing. But unfortunately, at that time, there kind of wasn't the opportunity that she was looking for to progress her career here at Curtains. So Kate moved on and she built and honed her skills and her experience, and she did that in the arts sector. But in 2019, things took a very happy turn, and Kate returned to us as marketing coordinator. She and her husband, Sam, they relocated to Merseyside from Kendal, and she began working from our head office in Liverpool. And since then, she's gone from strength to strength. She now leads the marketing team and champions all things Curtains. Welcome, Kate. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Ray. It's lovely to be here.
So that's been quite a circuitous route then to bring you to where we are now. Mm. How has that kind of like felt from your perspective, I suppose, like your experience of Curtains is unique, I would say. Mm. Bring some colour to that for us, Kate. How's that felt for you?
So I was thinking in readiness for the podcast, you know, looking back over my journey, I started at Curtains in my early 20s and I'm now 35. Mm. And your life changes a lot in your 20s, and it certainly has for me. And Curtains has been part of a lot of big milestones in my life. We got married up in the lakes, and there was some people on the walking weekend that planned their route to meet us outside the church when we came out. So that was a real surprise. So they were there for, you know, the early days. Yeah. Mm. And then I suppose several house moves, moving across from, well, leaving Curtains for a short while and then coming back and moving to Merseyside, two children as well. And then, you know, in the last year, I lost my mum as well. So these are, I think, as big as it gets really for, you know, life milestones. And I've always felt that Curtains, and particularly the people at Curtains, have been there for me. They've helped me navigate some really significant changes and some real ups and downs as well, all of it. And then, you know, certainly thinking about the last couple of years, I haven't been able to be, you know, the best employee at work. It's not been possible. And I think there's people at Curtains that have been able to see what I needed more than I could see it in myself. There are times when I couldn't bring everything to work those days, or I'd need to leave a drop of a hat really to be with my family. And at that time, the most important thing I needed to do was be with my family. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I don't allow myself to see that, but people at Curtains did. And they said, you know, they just recognise that that's where I needed to be. Because it wasn't about not being dedicated to this business. It's not about not caring about the people that are in this business or my work. It was just caring about family. And there, you just have to have priorities. And I wish, well, I hope that if anybody else ever goes through something like that, that they know that there's people in this business that they can talk to, that they can have all the flexibility they needed. Because hopefully there will be a point, and there certainly has for me, when you can come back in, you can step back into the person that you were. I've stepped back in a even bigger way. I took the decision to apply and interview for the head of role, and that was right for me at that time. And now, you know, I'm performing. I would say I'm happy. My team are brilliant. Joe, Dean, and Sam. And they're developing all the time as well. My life has just changed a lot, and Curtains has always been that place that's given me that sense of belonging, that supported me through these big milestones. There's always been something in this business that's helped me through those, certainly those ups and downs, and, you know, and now planning for the future as well. So I'm really grateful for that, and now stepping into that head of role is a really exciting step.
Yeah, absolutely, Kate. I just want to kind of acknowledge, like, thank you for that. Thank you for that vulnerability, because I know it's not easy, but don't underestimate how important that is, because there will be people that are listening to this podcast who really do appreciate that perspective, and probably weren't necessarily expecting it when they kind of like tuned in. But I think that sense of belonging, that sense of constant that you got from Curtains, from, let's be honest, the people that are around you, is the experience that we want everybody across the business to have and to feel. So I really do kind of appreciate you being that honest with us today. So thank you. I suppose reflecting then on where you've got to now. I think this idea that you kind of, like you say, I'm not saying you're healed. I'm not saying you're fixed. The last couple of years have been extremely tough and will continue to be. But absolutely going for that role, stepping into that interview for the head of marketing was a huge deal. And I absolutely get that. But I feel like really, really confident in what you've achieved. And like, I'm really excited in terms of what you're going to go on and achieve. Just talk us through then, what does the day job look like? What is a head of marketing? What do you do? What kind of keeps you motivated and going?
It's a lot of planning, which I do really love. But I suppose it's about understanding what our clients need and helping develop services. And that really does light a bit of a fire in me, actually. And I think one of the things that Curtains does so well is that agility, that understanding what our clients need from us and then customizing our services to meet those needs.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds all speak, but I suppose on the day to day, what that looks like is working with our business development team, so Katie and Ollie's team, and also our key sector teams, to deliver what they need so that we can win work in those particular sectors. And some examples of that where it's worked really well is our data centres, where a few years ago we hadn't delivered so many, less than 1% of our sector spread, I suppose, and now it's closer to 10.
Yeah.
And then in higher education as well, we're looking at similar stories. We've been to all for the last 10 years as key sponsors, and every time we go there and try and understand what our higher education estates directors need from us. And so this year, last year we really got to grips with the kind of 10 areas that they were focused on, refined our approach, and then, you know, went back out to the market to speak to them about their particular challenges that are facing and how Curtains can support them on decarbonisation of their estates or digital estates or public realm, retrofitting with their existing buildings and maintenance of their existing buildings. And now we've been awarded Ord Supplier of the Year 2026. So that's that's a real thrill. And just, I suppose, testimony to how those key sectors are working for the benefit of our clients.
Absolutely. And it's always focused on that 2030 plan, right?
Yeah.
And I think that what you've really done is you've absolutely grabbed that with two hands as our North Star and gone, right, how are we making sure that all of our strategies, all of our tactics deliver on that? Because that's kind of like the guiding, that's the ambition, right? That's the vision. And like you say, working with the business development team super, super closely and those key sector teams to go, right, how does that translate into our marketing plans day by day?
Yeah, of course. And how does that translate to our people as well? So our internal comms strategy, which Joe leads on. So how do we keep them informed? How do we keep the knowledge share flowing? The best form of communication so that they feel that they're getting the information that they need and that they are value aligned as well. We've taken some big steps in our development of our intranet over the last couple of years, certainly last year with Loop really coming to the fore. 20,000 hits on Loop we get every single month.
So mental.
I cannot believe those figures. But it's just real testimony to how great that platform is, and we're just continuing to invest and develop it so it's performing even better and will hopefully become the central source of information for all of our people to find everything that they need. And we're seeing that start to happen already.
Absolutely. You've been part of the employee forum since like the absolute beginning, which I suppose if anything is the nucleus of that storytelling. It really is at the heart of who we are and why we exist. And you've been on that journey, you know, one of the first reps voted on to represent the Liverpool office. But you've really seen an evolution as well, haven't you? I think it's fair to say when we kind of first started out into our kind of employee ownership, like we didn't quite know how this was going to go for us. We didn't quite understand what that would mean for everybody. We were very, very strong in the sense that it was the right thing to do, but we didn't exactly know what that would feel and look like day to day. How would you say that you've seen that kind of ownership and the culture evolve, be embedded? Like, what's your take on that?
I think evolve is the word, and it certainly has. You know, we're 5 years in now, so we're no longer that fledgling employee ownership trust, and we're well on our journey. And I think certainly in the last couple of years, we're seeing, you know, collective ownership really feeling embedded in the business in a more meaningful way. I think people understand a little bit more and what it means, and what it means to be a co-owner of this business, and also what kind of suggestions can really drive through effective change at Curtains. And I've seen that particularly in the employee forum. In those early days, it was very much just a channel, a conduit for employee suggestions, and that was great. It's what we needed at the time. But it was almost Rob, our former CEO, in the hot seat there, taking the suggestions and having to action them quite quickly. And actually that means that all of those suggestions that are coming through have quite a short-term outlook. And I think where you get real in value from the collective ownership is that long-term perspective, you know, the long-term stewardship of this business and long-term value for our co-owners. And that's where we're at now. And our forum has kind of evolved and morphed into being much more workshop-based, where we're consulting with our forum reps, the representatives from all of our offices, on areas of the business plan. And I think really key is that our forum representatives and the people in this business aren't there to make operational decisions or even lobby for those changes, because those decisions sit with our board and now with the senior leaders who've been rightly appointed for their, you know, skills, experience, cultural alignment. So those decisions sit there. But what we can do is provide that collective perspective. You know, how do these decisions sit with everybody, and does this have long-term value? And that's been a big learning curve for us. And I suppose there's some examples that come to mind that when we're talking about what suggestions have really worked. And one in particular, and I mean, no sort of hard feelings on the team that put this forward, because it, you know, the way that you look at it, it does have a lot of value and there's a lot of logic to it, but it was around water bottles for the team. So we introduced an onboarding pack for new starters, which was about retention for new people in those first couple of years when they join us. It's about giving new starters a real sense of belonging, you know, saying, we see you, you're valued, welcome to Curtains, you've got a place here. And then we had a suggestion saying, well, everybody should have a water bottle because this is about being collective owners. So everyone at Curtains, but actually you look at paying for those out of the collective purse and what that means to those individuals. And, you know, it's a short-term buzz, isn't it, of getting that freebie. But actually what people need is a loyal, motivated, steadfast team to support them and deliver their projects. And actually, they don't need a free water bottle when you look at it like that. So I think there's been a big learning curve and seeing where we can add value. And it's things like a hybrid working policy, which was developed through co-ownership and collective feedback. And it really did shape it. And when we came to review it last year, there were, you know, very few changes that had to be made because it'd been done in consultation with so many people in the business. And I think that's where collective ownership really shines and is going to see us successful for many years to come.
It's a really interesting mindset, isn't it? That mindset of being an owner, of acting like an owner, of thinking about the impact on the business, short, medium, long term. And I've definitely observed like a shift in that. And like, are we at our destination point? Like, probably not yet, actually. But I think that people are starting to really understand, right, it's not just about me. It's not just about my experience. It's not just about making my life easier or better or whatever that might look like, but collective ownership and showing up as an owner of Curtains in an equal stake to that person sitting next to you or in that other team or that other office, that really is about thinking of the kind of the ecosystem, if you like, of Curtains, and understanding, okay, well, if we put our resource, be that time or money, into something over here, well, what does that take our time and money away from, and what value does that add? And that does take skill, and that does take time, and that is a very particular mindset shift, actually, for some. But where we've seen it work, and that example that you've given there of like the hybrid, that really is the kind of policy where you could just sit there and think, well, do you know what? My life would be so much easier if I could work around this, you know, personal commitment or whatever it might be. Like, I totally accept and acknowledge, like, yes, it could be. But the broader impact on that, on the wider business, looks like X. And it's going, right, is that a balance that is fair and right to accept? And that's where we get, where we're really lucky, I suppose, to have the employee forum to contribute all of those ideas and thoughts, and hopefully in a kind of balanced way. But like you rightly point out, we've also got a really strong leadership team who kind of let that percolate through and arrive at that decision at the end, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what we've really seen a shift in people understanding where our collective voices have value. And they are louder than ever. And we've got some really exciting things coming in to the fore over the next few months, really, with this new ideas portal. So you'll be hearing a little bit more about this through our IND teams, that's Sophie and Mark. And that's because we're such an ideas-rich business, and we've seen that through the forum. And what we want to do is have a mechanism where those suggestions can really come through and they can go to the right people, and people can have feedback on how they've been recognized or dealt with, how they're being fed through into action if they are. And actually that gives the forum for more space so that they can really workshop these ideas. And occasionally ideas that come through the ideas portal will go into the forum for discussion. So that enhancement around feedback through our collective ownership is a really exciting step that we're going to see over the coming year, that I think, you know, will really benefit this business.
Mm. The thing that you've picked out there, which is really critical for me, is the idea of seeing something through and understanding, right, I've put an idea in, and if that gets lost and if you never hear anything else again, then that's really demotivating. And you think, what's the point? Why did I, you know? And it might be that it's actually an action, and these things just take a little bit of time, or it might be that the decision was reached, you know what, that's just not right, but for really, really valid reasons. But what I think we're going to be kind of making sure that we do is close that feedback loop with the ideas portal, right? So that people can see, you know, it might not be in 24 hours that you get, you know, one business working day, you get, you know, you hear back, but at least people can understand, right, okay, I know that it's gone to the right person or the right group or whatever that might be, and that at some point, you know, within a reasonable amount of time, I'm actually going to understand where that's gone and what's happened with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's taking what we have as the employee forum tracker to the next level, which has got 190 suggestions on since 2023. So it just shows the amount of ideas that are coming through this business, but it's really a mechanism to take that further and people to see how those decisions as you come through, all those suggestions are taken full circle.
And it's interesting because I'm just thinking back to the kind of previous episodes of the podcast, and we've had a lot of people that have been in this business for a long time. We've had a lot of people that have kind of made their way into very senior roles, and you know, often the theme that I hear coming back is just put the idea out there. Just, you know, like just give it a go. Just, you know, I remember talking to Dean Saxton, and that came through really loud and clear from him. It was like, you know, don't hold back and just share your ideas. And yes, some of them might not go anywhere, but actually that, again, to bring it back to kind of that acting and showing up as an owner, is absolutely central, isn't it, to what that looks like, to being able to say, right, I've got an idea. I think it's going to improve the business. I ain't not sitting on that. I'm sharing that. Right, I'm going to bring us back then, Kate, to the day job, I suppose, the head of marketing. And obviously a huge part of that is colleague engagement and the internal communications, kind of, I suppose, equal to the external communications, but making sure that all of our business feel they know what's going on with the business, they feel part of the business, and an absolute kind of jewel in the crown is the get-together. So this is our biennial event, where we bring all of our colleagues together in one place, and basically we have a very, very lovely time. Tell us, Kate, what can we look forward to this year? What's on the cards?
Yeah, it's another really exciting event. So this has been led by Jo, who is our internal comms coordinator. She's done a few of these now, so she really knows what makes us tick. And looking back over the decades, we've done the get-together since the 1980s, perhaps, where it used to be a couple of our officers, maybe only had three at the time, getting together in something like a university's halls for a bit of socialising, a bit of fun. And I suppose we're taking that, the ethos of that, all the way through to what we're delivering today, but on a much larger scale. It's much more refined. And we just want people to have a really good time, to get to know each other. I think it's what sets Curtains out as such a special consultancy to work with, because our people get on so well. And I think we work together across all of our offices brilliantly, and that's a part of what the get together does for us. It's about people connecting with, you know, whether you're from Glasgow or down from our Bristol office, getting to know each other in a really meaningful way. So this year we're taking all of that over to Victoria Warehouse in Manchester, which, when Jo and I went to have a look around, we stood in that space. I mean, it's an old industrial building that they've converted. I mean, and they've not converted it into an awful lot more than a venue or a blank canvas, really. But we were in that space thinking this could be anything for Curtains. It's just got the right feel for our people. It's obviously a retrofitted building, and we're doing a lot of that. So it felt like there was a nice synergy between the work that we're actually delivering. And we're going to bring into that space of Summer Fate, which will have lots of side stalls, thinking tombolas, splatter rat, that sort of thing, getting teams head to head, betting against each other a little bit. They're going to have a little look about that, look after their money as well when they're thinking about it. And we're hoping that they will go to head to head, have a really good time playing these side stall games as well. And we'll round off the evening with our really special evening staff awards and three-course dinner, all expenses paid, an opportunity for people to enjoy the day, connect a little bit further, and celebrate each other in the staff awards, which are really special for Curtains, where we celebrate our values, integrity, being human, curiosity and impact, and of course our special Bill Curtain Awards. There'll be entertainment through the evening as well, and hopefully people will leave that feeling that they've learned a little bit more about each other. They'll be on a little bit of a high for the next couple of years as well, and feeling more connected than ever. And just really feeling that they've enjoyed themselves for a couple of days. And I think that's what makes the get together so special and so unique to our business.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I always think the wonderful thing that we haven't lost with the get together over, like you say there, since the 80s, so we're talking like four decades, is it is about fun, right?
Yeah.
It's about being a bit silly. It's about not taking life too seriously. And I think that's such an important balance to, like, we have really important grown-up jobs, right? We are a business full of professionals who have and wear that responsibility, right, day in, day out. And that's incredible. But I love this idea of this kind of escapism, I guess, of the get-together, where we can say, right, you don't have to be that person today. Yeah. It is there for you to, like you say, connect with people, to understand a little bit more about your colleagues. But ultimately, it's just about having a laugh. And I know over the years, we've kind of like played with the idea of, like, should we bring in some sort of technical talk? You know, would people be interested in some sort of seminar? And I genuinely, I'm really chuffed that we've always come back to, no, that is not what this is about. This is about people turning up and just having a bloody good time.
Yeah, getting to know each other on a more deeper level. And you can't do that when you're saying, well, you've also got to be thinking about our business plan here because we're going to do a seminar.
Yeah, exactly,
like, it's just not possible.
There's
plenty of other spaces at Curtains where we do those technical talks. I know the get together has really just got to be about fun.
And what about somebody who'd like never been before? So we've got somebody in our business and they might have heard about the get together. They might have had it heard it mentioned at the induction or whatever it might be. But what would you say to them?
I think, come prepared to enjoy yourself, but also be reassured that we have thought about you. We try and make this as inclusive as possible. You know, with every activity we're doing, we're thinking about who potentially couldn't do this and how do we make it so that they can, or what we're going to do to facilitate everybody's needs there. So we're so careful with that. And I suppose what we do on those get-togethers days has evolved with that in mind over the years. So please just, relax a little bit about what's going to be asked of you, because really we just want you to be able to enjoy yourself. So come, put your guard down a little bit, I think, and I think you'll get the most from it. But there will be no surprises. We're not going to be putting anybody on a stage and asking them to do something that they're not really comfortable with. This is meant to be an enjoyable day.
Absolutely. I think some really good advice there, that it is designed, it's designed for everybody, isn't it? So let your guard down, come prepared to have fun. I think the other thing as well, just I suppose taking it back to what we were talking about just before, we're constantly looking for feedback, aren't we? We're constantly looking for, does this work? What would you like to see done differently? So also, if there is something you think, that wasn't quite for me, or I didn't go for this reason, like, share that. And I think that's, that all kind of goes into the melting pot, doesn't it, in terms of us understanding, right, how do we make this even better than ever? And I know that, like, I've definitely kind of every year the feedback that I get is, oh my god, what are you going to do next time? How could you possibly make this better?
And actually we found that it is so hard to do that, because what we offer is so unique. Finding a venue that offers day activities, space for the day activities, and an evening do and hotel accommodation is quite rare in the UK. So we see a lot of venues in advance to try and find the right one for us, and every year we're trying to, it may maybe outdo, but at least match what we've done in previous years, which gets increasingly challenging. But certainly Joe is steering us in a really good way on this front. So hopefully this year you're going to have a brilliant time.
Absolutely. And no doubts for me that the A-team are working on it. So thinking about the future then and what's kind of coming down the track for Curtains, it's, I mean, we're entering like a really, really exciting period, aren't we? Tell us then, what would you say is like the greatest opportunity? What do you think that we should be absolutely like grasping with two hands?
Well, I think we already are, to be honest, and it has got to be AI. Mm-hmm. I hope people won't cringe when they hear me say that, but there's such an opportunity for us both internally and externally, and we are embracing that in a really positive way, certainly through our innovation and digital team. And actually, one of the things that you'll hear about very soon at Curtains is our new agents that we're developing to help develop case studies more efficiently.
When you're talking about case studies there, just tell us, what do you mean? What does that look like?
Okay, so case studies are our project portfolio, really. Mm-hmm. And what we have is a lot of technical information about our case studies written in technical reports that we do for Reba Stage 1, 2, 3, or 4. And so those exist in on our servers, and we can use those through a co-pilot agent that we're developing to generate case studies that are aligned with our tone of voice, that have our breakdown of the challenges and the solutions that we provided for our clients. It's a real workflow speed up as well, but it's also just unlocking information that our technical team are already doing. Yeah. It's already there, and I think that's where AI works so well, when you're feeding it with truthful and unique information, and then you're doing a little bit of tailoring on it, you know, on the information that it's sharing afterwards as well. And I think when this agent's released through the business and it's already with our experienced community and our digital hub team now in testing, that would be a real step change, I think, for being able to provide quality case studies to tell our clients our story.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose the whole point of that is to make sure that we're really making the most of what we're working on now, what we've worked on historically to generate new business. And it's just that really clear way of telling that technical story, isn't it? Yeah. But in a way that is easy to digest, easy to understand. And I always think that's really critical, because I mean, I've been in the roles where I've worked on, you know, trying to generate these case studies myself. And I think being able to kind of translate that very, very technical, heavy engineering language into something that somebody who hasn't actually got that technical brain necessarily, and a lot of our clients haven't, they read it and go, okay, that's where the added value came. Yeah, that's how Curtains went the extra mile. That's how they really delivered on their client's brief. Mm. And I think sometimes you think, oh, that sounds like it should be quite easy to do. But actually, it really takes skill, doesn't it? Yeah. So to be able to use the efficiency of AI to help us to smooth that out, I think it's just like, it's a proper game changer, that, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is. It's really exciting. And then I mentioned, I think there's also opportunities with this externally as well. And I suppose I'm feeling quite energized by AI at the moment. And I've come through being a bit of a cynic too, you know, reading a lot of what we call AI slop, which is just this generative information that people are putting out on social media, on LinkedIn, on their websites as a form of SEO. And actually, that's not what people don't want to read it. AI doesn't want to read it. It doesn't want to cite it. And what we've come round full circle is to a space where real journalism and good thought leadership plays into both AI, but what people want to read, it's about having unique perspective in your communications. And I think that's what Curtains has always done so well. We've always been thought leaders. We've always had something to say, whether it's something on a new engineering topic or the Building Safety Act or the way that we approached RAC and how that was published in Healthcare Estates. We have something to say. And so I feel quite energized by the way that that can align with what AI needs from us as a business, but also just about sharing our perspective and sharing our knowledge. It's just kind of the bedrock of who we've always been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think what I'm really excited by is this idea of building efficiency, of optimizing what we do. Mm-hmm. But exactly what you're saying there, the unique position that Curtains is in to bring the heart, to bring the humanity. And that is what, no matter who you speak to, what you read, what talk you engage with, that is where I think that we will be set apart in this kind of AI journey, because that is something that the computers can't replicate, right? So, on to the quick fire round then, Kate. Tell us, what's your favourite thing to do?
So I mentioned, you know, I have a bit of background in the arts. So it was music particularly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I used to be in bands. I think that's where the love marketing came from, was, you know, promoting bands, making logos, that sort of thing. But it was singing. It's always been part of me. I wouldn't say it's everything in me, but it's certainly a big part of me, and that's something that I love to do in my free time. So we've got a band in Liverpool, actually, mm-hmm. the Curtina. So Sean, Ian, John Shepp and Rich Edwards, and they are brilliant. Mm-hmm. And we've taken a bit of inspiration, actually. We've got a bit of a girl band going now. With Lucy, myself, Veronica and Jess in the accounts team. So we're trying to get something together, but it's, you know, it's just nothing really compares to playing music and singing with other people. I don't think it really matters if you're a bit rubbish, actually. I think if you play music and you can, then to be able to do it with somebody else is just so special.
Absolutely.
So that's something that I really, really enjoy doing in my free time. So I've been learning the guitar, actually. I play the piano anyway, and the keyboard and sing, but yeah, learning the guitar as well, just to be in this band, just in the desperate hope that they'll let me play with them.
I love it. That's amazing. And then this is the question that we ask of everybody that comes on the podcast. I want you to think about Kate a year from today. Mm. What will you be doing? What will that look like?
So I was thinking, I mean, I could take this on the professional or the personal route, and I'm going personal. So we've not long gone back off a camping trip with my family and with the kids, and the two kids are now on pedal bikes, so they can both ride bikes, and Sam and I enjoy mountain biking as well. So I would love next summer to be maybe doing a camping trip or something else, but out on the mountain bikes, all four of us hitting the trails would be really joyous. I would really love to do that as a four of us, because we all love biking and the kids are getting better and better. And I think just giving yourself as much family time is so important. So planning a bit of that in next summer would be great.
Amazing. I love it. Perfect answer. Thank you. And thank you for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.